That's really, really scary. Our next speaker is Dr. Bethany Hall Long from the University of Delaware. Are you really the interim director of the Whole Person Program?
I was.
You were?
I did
for a while. Oh, okay, so you're breathing a little easier now. And the title for our topic is Public Health, Nursing, and Politics Impacting State Health Policy.
Thank you very much. Welcome this morning, bright and early. It is election day for many states. It is not in Delaware, but I had a special election, not for myself, but someone else. I wear that dual hat of being an elected official, so it is challenging, and I think they put me right in the middle between the environment and the link to the next speakers who follow. I noticed that Joanne and Elaine kind of get more into policy advocacy, and I'm thinking instead of presenting my research with chronic disease and how we made some change in the legislature in Delaware, I should have done my work in the environment or occupational health. I would have probably been a nicer transition, and I don't have the beautiful pictures of Montana and Delaware, I have to confess. We have the beach, but that's about it. We don't have the beautiful mountain scene, but we certainly have a lot of toxins, and one of the reasons I took 4 years, but I actually got the first Office of Occupational Health created in the state of Delaware, and that's a whole other story. That would be a whole other banana to peel, and we don't want to take the time on that. So I'm here to bring greetings with two hats, the state legislature in Delaware, and then also as a academic professor working with partners in the community. Don't panic if you saw the slides. It looks like a lot. We're not going to take that whole period. I'm going to take maybe around 10 minutes to highlight some of the components and then kind of summarize about the political involvement. What you will see is that I've purposely selected one of the academic partnerships, Nurses in Action. Many of you I look out, I've been at different conferences since 1993. I've been doing a database on being in the academic setting and working with all types of nonprofits, community-based agencies, in particular public health. And Chris Bennett, the Director of Public Health Nursing from Delaware, just flew by to say hi to me because we were all competing with wonderful sessions this morning. But if you look at the other sessions that are being presented today, you'll see a number of them at this time are on the environment, and a number of committees are meeting with academic partnerships. What I'm hoping to do is to share with you a model that you can go back and consider partnering with your academic setting, doing your research, and linking that to giving public policy awareness, testimony, activities you might do with your local elected officials. And again, these could certainly be replicated at the national level. Delaware is very tiny, population small like Montana. So again, unlike the larger populous states that I've lived in, you can drive through the state pretty quickly, but it's a really nice test model. Like all states, I think in prevalence across the country, we've seen this gigantuous increase in prevalence of chronic illness, whether it's asthma, diabetes, mental health disorders. And in Delaware, we focus here on the diabetes initiative, which actually led me into chronic illness creation of state policy. So it started with a research nurse at one of the home health agencies and a public health nurse coming to me with my dual hats as a legislator and as an academician, saying, we've got to do something. Our diabetes rates are so high. We're spending all kinds of money. We're above benchmark. What can we do? So we sat down and said, let's use our students, educate them, train them, come up with a creative partnership, take that research data, go back to the legislature, think of ways we can expand programs and costs. Because if you look in here, if you have the handouts that are in the back, you'll see that we were above national core benchmarks for emergent care and unplanned hospitalizations with our home health and public health patients. And so we build upon this model where you have your undergraduate, graduate nursing faculty partner with public health nurses, with home health nurses, other agencies, and actually take those senior students or juniors and seniors, and they devote their clinical hours, whether it be 84 in a session of academic semester or quarter, or whether it be 168 hours, and you go into an intense training. And ideally, this revolves through the academic year. University of Delaware, we have winter session, we have summer session, so there is congruency. So you're able to actually follow patients in the home, follow them in the clinic, and let's face it, folks, you know, it's easier if you're home alone and you're a diabetic or chronically ill, frail elder, if you have a student, we know student nurses are, right, and public health nurses, constantly calling, are you monitoring your log? Are you weighing yourself? What is it you're doing? And students really are a true motivator, and students learn in this partnership. Now, the next few slides I'm going to quickly go through because I do want to get to the policy piece because I know we have like 12 minutes or 10 minutes probably left at this point. But what I wanted to do is share with you, whether it's a home health agency, public health program, such as the visiting nurses here that served as our site, you can create those models. And many of you have probably done similar programs in your states, but involving not only just nursing, but the whole core public health team. As I look out, I see multiple providers here, dietitians, nutritionists, physicians, and working with those students to really, truly meet baseline. So the students had to prove themselves before we put them out to be part of the educational research program. They had to pass the test. They had to understand the psychometrics of the tools. They had to understand the procedures, because otherwise our process would be flawed. And for us, the key was really evaluating the program. Did it make a difference? Did self-management behaviors change? Did folks lose weight? Did they do their blood sugars? Did their hemoglobin A1Cs decrease? Did we not send them to the hospital? Did they not have unplanned emergency visits? And the third bullet's real important, policy. What did it mean for the agency? Costs were saved, access was improved, and quality of care. Didn't happen overnight. If you see, this was done over a period of 6 years. So it took us some time, and it wasn't evidence-based right away. And we piloted it. And ancillary, like all good public health nurses, we try to get 20 things out of one loaf of bread, right? And so we did a camp. We got funding for a camp. We had funding through the National Diabetes Action Foundation. We actually did a program with medical students through Jefferson University, Bridging the Gap, where we had medical students working with the nursing students, pharmacy students, nutrition students. And we did this ongoing partnership. During this period of five years, we had around 255 in our sample, informed consent. We did a repertoire of tools. You'll see in a slide in a couple seconds a little more detail on the tools. Did a series of parametric and non-parametric testing. And then we said, well, what can we do with policy? And as we were going through the research study, we'd have students attend our state legislature, students go to health commission meetings, and begin to raise awareness of the importance of diabetes and chronic illness. Again, this list for you, the things that we had to make sure students knew when they went out in the field with their visiting nurse association preceptor or public health nurse preceptor. And we had to make sure we had a coordination plan, because there's always hiccups, there's always issues, patients, you know, fall out of the pool, there's a problem, you get to the patient, they've been hospitalized or no longer want to participate. And again, we did all kinds of incentives, certifications to students, you know, making them feel a buy-in, the patients also making them feel they wanted to continue in part of the program. And again, you'll see in the last component, we really did have students and public health nurses come and give testimony before the legislature why this was an important program and sharing those results. As you see here, we did the research side, the many mental state exams, many of the Michigan diabetes tools, profiles, attitudes. I didn't bring all the research data today because I figured I was wearing more of the policy hat. And in doing that, we were able to say to the legislature, hey, you partner, you give us money, give us a pilot, we'll save you money. And we did make over 400 visits to these 255 clients. We did telephone monitoring follow-up. We saved approximately, well, we provided around $500,000 in services from the student side. We calculated that on an hourly basis. 33% improved self-behavior reporting and 65% in motivation. The most important things you'll see is not only our student scores went up, but our patients were better at monitoring their hemoglobin A1Cs. And what was interesting was even within 2 years of the program, our emergency visits and our unplanned hospitalizations fell below national benchmark. And as it continued even further in the program with 2005-2006 data, you'll see that we've begun to show even further the impact of this program, how we are now admitting many less patients. Now, again, certainly you can't say it's just the program. There's a lot of obvious environmental components. But we also get people improved insurance and access while we're doing this. We were, as a result of this program, able to create legislation. I was a person who created a task force, not only for diabetes, but chronic illness in the state. And sometimes if you can't get a law passed or a bill passed, you start with a task force or a resolution. Get to know your legislators. They meet at different times, different sessions, House, Senate members. Delaware, we are in session January through July. Don't be afraid to come forth with your ideas, whether it's asbestos, our environmental, our advocacy. And I know our following speakers are going to talk about the political value advocacy and the values and the conflict. I know things always look linear, but they're not. The legislative process sometimes takes forever. We see those national issues here this week. We're hearing about SCHIP and different programs, environmental, international health issues. But at the state level, know the processes. Don't be afraid to share your ideas. There are paid legal assistants and counselors who work with us who help to draft legislation. And look at that word regulation, so important. As you know, public health providers, you live and breathe and eat regulations. Some of them are horrible, right? Some are great, but real important to monitor those. One thing I will share with you, I'm the only health provider right now in Delaware, the only nurse. And 2 years ago, I had to fight to keep our public health nursing director's position for the state. You know, they were going to axe it, cut it right out of the program. Well, I'm not asking for applause, but I'm just saying that I'm sharing with you a living example of why we have to have people educated, because there's a lot of competitions in a budget. People don't understand, particularly in the General Assembly where I am in Delaware, the value of public health. Now, I serve on an environmental justice committee. I work with occupational health because I come from that lens. But I'm competing with policemen, retired, you know, attorneys, people who want money for bridges and roads. We're all fighting. So it's real important that they understand we are the core for bioterrorism. We're the core for public security, whether it's infant mortality, violence, prevention. Know your process. Know where to become involved. As I get near the end here, as I wrap up a little, it grows. You know, like we started with this diabetes initiative, we had a chronic disease task force. From that, we discovered Delaware was doing absolutely very little for the number one killer, imagine that, cardiovascular disease. Our state's one of the leading states because we're small and we can afford to do a lot with cancer. You know, we have a program where anyone for the first 2 years, if they're uninsured, get complete cancer treatment for free. We do a lot with cancer because we were very high and our governor made that a real precedence. But a stroke was high. So from our panel, we created a stroke task force and we've applied for additional funding. And we've begun to create stronger data registries, public awareness, and working with our emergency service providers. And again, thinking about those academic service partnerships. What can we do, whether it's cardiovascular, violence, whatever community-based public health initiative you're working with. And the key to all of this is what we're great at in public health. You know, we're interdisciplinary, unlike some of the more acute care systems. We work together. We roll our sleeves up together, you know, whether we're a nutritionist or a social worker or RN, MD. And that's what we have to continue to do. And bring that voice to the General Assemblies, your House of Delegates, wherever you, whatever title you use in your legislative bodies. I will tell you, big business is there. They're a big paid lobbyist. And, you know, they give donations, people have election cycles, and there are good people in public policy at the state level. But you have to not be afraid. Shoot that email off. Write that note. Sometimes if I get 5 or 6 calls or emails on an issue, that's a lot compared to others. And so your advocacy is very important. And I would hope that, you know, as I've summarized from here today, that you can see how important, whether you're dealing with a chronic disease model program or environmental justice or asbestos, that we must be involved in the political forefront. Policy just doesn't happen. You know, the occupational health program I started, I wanted to do a public-private occupational health office. Imagine that big business was very successful in quelling the initiative with the private sector. So we had to start with just an office of occupational health looking in the public sector. But I would see janitors in schools not wearing gloves, spraying chemicals. It was amazing what I would see with these programs, and there was a real need. And, you know, I could have said, oh, forget it. But it was helpful because my public health partners were available for me. So again, think of ways that you can make a change. I am sure there are probably many of you could come up and give the same spiel and use it with infant mortality or another program, but anything we can do. And again, many of you at your local levels. So again, local, county, state, and national policy. So I hope this has given you a smidget of an overview. I know we each are a little rushed. I think we're all on a race this morning, marathon, to get to our 15 minutes. But I'd be happy to answer questions at the end if we have it. And if not, I'll be hanging around a few minutes too. So thank you very much. Thanks.